You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted, as ever, to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Fraser Wilson. Guys, how are you both?
Very well, thank you, Daniel. Yourself?
I'm very good, thanks. Michael?
Oh, good, chaps. Good to see your lovely, bright faces on a miserable early spring day.
Not sure what screen you're looking at, Michael.
Best I don't tell you.
I usually like the international weeks. Obviously, we've been a Scotland fan. It's been pretty good the last year or two, but it's been a brutal international week and pretty happy to be back to club football. I think the best place to start, Mick, is we're recording this on Thursday and we have the news that Callum McGregor's return from injury is imminent. That's from a quote in Celtic TV from Brendan Rodgers. There was rumours that he might even be out for the season, but this is a massive boost for Celtic.
Yeah, the kind of what is imminent? Imminent means obviously almost immediately, very soon. So you think that he's close this weekend, Livingston. Is it one? If he is fit, does he play, or do you keep him in Cotton Wool for next week at Ibrox? I think that's a big dilemma. If he's only just close to playing, I think it's maybe not worth the risk. I don't think there's a gamble in terms of waiting another week for Callum McGregor. I think he comes back at that team, he can hit the ground running. I don't think he needs the hour or so games in his legs as such, because he's obviously he's played so much football over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, and he's not been out for that long. So if he is 100%, well, he won't be 100%, but if he is fit, then Rodgers may want to give him a run out. Get him back into the swing of things. But if there's any slight lingering doubt that another week wouldn't help, then I think it's not worth the gamble. It's a tricky game at Livingston. So I can understand the need to get the best players on the pitch. And obviously, it's now a part of the season where every game's must win. So it's going to be that's a big dilemma for Brendan Rodgers over the next kind of 24, 48 hours. It'll be interesting to see what way he goes.
And as if we didn't need another reminder, Fraser, but the Scotland performance the other night, I think, showed how important McGregor is. They looked a bit lost in the middle of the pitch without him. And what would you guys do if he's just about fit for the weekend? Would you play him or would you keep him wrapped up?
Yeah, I disagree with Mick there. See if he's fit to play, I play him. It's far too important now, even against the bottom team in the division, to take any chances. I think it's that important to driving this Celtic team on. And I think, is it 5 weeks now since they played Callum McGregor? And I totally get what Mick's saying. I think he is the kind of player that can hit the ground running, but I just wouldn't want to take any risks of that not happening in such a big game against Rangers. I'd get him in there, get him up to speed. If Celtic have got the game out of sight, if Celtic are out of sight by the hour mark, get him back off. But I just don't think he can take any risks. And down the year, Celtic have slipped up a couple of times at Almondvale. So if the real leader of that team is available to play, I would get him straight in there. Because you're right, even Scotland the other night, with all the midfielders we've got available to us, and I know our own Tam McManus said after the Holland game, he struggled to see how Callum McGregor gets back in that team. I think the other night shows us exactly why Callum McGregor gets right back in the Scotland team when he's fit.
What would you do, Mick, if you were in Rodgers' shoes? Would you play him or would you hang on to him for a week?
I'd hang on for a week. I think it's not worth it. That Livingston pitch is, you just know, listen, even for regular duffers like ourselves, these pitches, they don't recover as quickly from playing these pitches. And if you have got any little injury or niggles, these things get accentuated on these parks, aren't they? So I don't think it'd be worth a gamble coming back on that surface. If it was a grass pitch, if it was a Celtic Park, I would say, yeah, get him out, let him out the grass. The fact that it's the artificial surface is a concern. I mean, the same goes for Cameron Carter-Vickers. You could argue he shouldn't play either. He's too big a player for the following week. Celtic can get by. I mean, if Celtic can't beat Livingston with those two out and the players they can bring in, then they don't really deserve to go on in the Champions anyway. These are games you need to win. That's why you've got a squad. That's why you Celtic pay the big bucks for these guys. You've got players in reserve that should have the ability to beat Livingston this weekend. So I would actually be tempted to keep McGregor on ice and give Carter Vickers another week as well.
And there'll be an honest discussion going on between the manager and the captain. I think they can trust him to tell him exactly whether he's ready and wants to play this game. And then it'd be down to Rodgers to choose. I tell you what, it's an interesting point you make about that surface, Mick.
Well, because, you play these surfaces, what do you feel like the day after it?
I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because we've all played, everyone plays in these surfaces now, no matter what level of football you play at, right? And we think we know what they're like. I walked across one on Sunday, the SPFL Trust Trophy final, and it's like nothing I've ever been on in my life. It doesn't bear any resemblance. I didn't like it. It was almost like these mats that you wipe your feet on before going into an office or something. Yeah. I couldn't believe how tough and the strands of fake grass were sticking straight up. They weren't bending over. Now, obviously, we're now in the fifth generation Astro, but I didn't like it. I thought I would not fancy playing in that. To answer your question, Mick, I used to stick to, I'm sure you were the same, used to stick to the bed sheets after playing in them. But we're old enough to remember it.
Easy for you.
Just qualify what I said there. It was the Burns. I remember playing in the 1G that were basically hockey surfaces. Oh. It was just sand and top of a cement top.
I grew up in the eastern of Glasgow. We played in the red ash pitches. Oh, yeah. And playing in goal on the red ash pitch, I genuinely to this day, now 44, I can't grow any hair on my legs. I mean, I'm like a orangutan with the rest of my body apart from my legs, because the red ash pitches have ripped them out at the roots. Honestly, we've got legs like Freddy Krueger.
Not just the legs either, mate.
But they're Astro pitches. I mean, I played in a few of the ones. I think I played at Hamilton's one, Airdrie, a few of these ones. I'm trying to think of the other ones I've played on. And it's not even so much the actual Astro grass. It's the fact that they're so hard underfoot. And it's like, if you're jumping about on that and running about on that, twisting and turning, your bones are aching the next day, your muscles are aching. And if you're carrying a slight niggle, that's the last thing you need, really, is to be running about like that and then feeling it. Listen, I don't think for these guys, I think that it's slightly a longer recovery time from these games. And they've got plenty of time till the next game. But I just think it's not really worth the gamble. I mean, we're kind of joking. It's a man, me jumping about a 40-year-old on the hard ground isn't the same as these elite athletes running around on these parks. But I still think it has to be something you've got to take into account. And every manager you talk to, they always worry about it. They always take it into account. So if it was me, and there's a reason why I'm not paid £3 million a year to the Celtic manager, but I would be thinking, rest Carter Vickers for this one. Sit him out and don't gamble with Carl McGregor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In the last 10 years, I've had 5 knee operations just through football. Both my cruciates went, and just been a nightmare. But the surgeon said to me a couple of times, he's like, even the most sophisticated 3G, 4G pitch it's just a nightmare for your knees. Like, you turn and twist. He gave me some percentage that it pulls away more than, you know, 30% more than a grass pitch. And I don't know, we've talked about it to death, but I think it's mad. This is still in the top flight in Scotland.
I got carried off at the Airdrie's plastic pitch. One of the few times in my life I actually get carried off. And the thing was, I'm so big that the three of the guys carrying me off pulled their back muscles as well.
The only thing I've dented in them pitches is Migo.
Oh, I got that as well.
I feel a bit sorry for clubs like Livy. I mean, they couldn't exist without their AstroTurf, you know.
No, that's true.
They don't like it either. I mean, let's be honest. These,
oh, if they could have a really green grass pitch, they would have they're snookered.
I mean, they sometimes they say the right things, but they would all rather be on grass, wouldn't they? But I can't be honest, we understand why they've got them, and we can't really argue against the kind of financial benefits they get from having them. But we do know that that's got to be something that teams take into account when they're going there.
Yeah. One last thing to rid some of the excuses, because there's too many excuses for these plastic pitches. Unless you play for Stirling Albion in League One, then every other player in League One is facing all but four games a season on a plastic pitch in the league campaign, because they've got 9 out of 10 clubs in that division playing a plastic pitch. Most of them are part-time. They probably won't have the recovery and the mastresses that the top-level teams have, but it doesn't seem to put them off. So maybe sometimes we dive a wee bit too far into the injuries caused by it. But to answer
it makes sense at that level, complete sense. And also, those guys aren't going through 4 days a week full-time training. They're not playing 50-odd games domestically and another 10 for the international team either. They're not playing 70-game seasons like some of these guys are playing. I mean, like, talk about Callum McGregor, who's played 60 games a season for the last 5 seasons. So, it's different demands on the body, isn't it? And I think in your top flight, your top division, you want to have. A bit like I said last week in Amsterdam, you want to have grass. I didn't say that. I'm joking.
That's a great, right? Let's cut away now. That's brilliant.
We touched on there, just going back to the football for a second. We touched on there that Hatate Carter-Vickers as well, Mick, could be back in and around the fold. So is it reasonable to suggest that they two and Cal McGregor could all be in Freiburgs? Or do you think that's too soon for Hatate?
I mentioned in the podcast last week, was it? I think that Hatate, for me, bench at best, I think. He's been out a long time. He's not played an awful lot of football this season. He does need games to get back fit. Again, see what I'm saying about McGregor and Carter Vickers, it's a risk and a half to play him against Livingston. I think I said previously I wouldn't take that gamble, but I think he might have to take that gamble. If he wants to get any kind of game time next week, he's got to kind of get some kind of minutes in the pitch at Livingston. Is he there yet? Well, he's been training. We'll find out in the pre-match press how fit he is. I mean, can you get reports from training okay, but we don't know until we speak to the manager. We don't know quite how close he is. If he is close, I think even getting him on the pitch, even for half an hour at the end, we'd get my place on the bench. I don't think he can start even after that. Mm-hmm. Does he get an hour at Livingston? I don't know. Is it given the way that he's broke down a few times coming back from injury, that may be a gamble, but that might be a gamble worth taking to get him up to speed a wee bit for next week. Do you give him an hour? If he breaks down and almost nothing venture, nothing gained, because at this point in time, he needs some kind of action before he gets to Ibrox. So that's going to be touch and go. But he's a guy, he's a bit of a slow burner sometimes. Hatate came back from injury the last time and he took 3 or 4 games to get up to speed. He gets back in business and then gets injured again. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's one that the manager's really going to weigh up. Is it worth, chucking him straight back in next week, I think, would be a big ask.
Just generally, though, to have all three back, Fraser, for the running, that's massive for Celtic. I mean, I kind of put in our notes, will we see the real Celtic? And I know that's a bit kind of, you know, they've had them available all before this season, but not quite regularly for any extended period of time.
You're totally right. It's almost like 2/3 of the spine of your team, isn't it? Which is always crucial if you're going to be successful. And then add up top to that spine, the fact Kyogo's maybe showing signs that he's starting to fire again. Aye, it could all be coming together at just the right time. McGregor, as I've said before, is absolute key. But then Carter Vickers is the best defender in Scottish football, I still think. So to have him back on form, that's a big question. But if he slots back in on form, then Celtic will be in a stronger position squad-wise than they've probably been all season. And then you've got Nicholas Kuhn starting to show flashes why they've signed him. Yang was coming on to a game before he gets sent off. I think Brendan Rodgers picked up on those two this week, mm-hmm. saying how he feels when those two come in. He's almost got two new players in the wings, both starting to hit top form. All across the team, I think Celtic are starting to look strong, and it's coming together at just the right time for them. There's no debate about that.
Aye, I can't wait for it. I know Livingston's first, but I can't wait for that derby game next week. That's going to be a cracker, I think. Right, elsewhere, away from the football pitch, Mick, we had the story on Record Sport Online yesterday. Brendan Rodgers, it's SFA hearing today after he's banned from comments at Tynecastle. I get we're recording this on Thursday. By the time you're listening to it at home, you'll probably know the verdict. But Celtic was said to have hired the Messi of the law world, Nick DiMarco, to fight Rodgers' corner. Do you think it's worthwhile? Do you think he's got a chance of winning?
I don't know. Listen, if you're listening to this on Friday, I can't believe they got an 18-game ban. It's incredible, isn't it? but back in our timeline, I don't know. Listen, you look at the rules and you look at what he said, you think it looks kind of open and shut. But I think Celtic will perhaps highlight, I don't know for sure what the legal strategy will be. I only got 2 years at my law degree, unlike Nick DiMarco, who obviously is a KSE. I'm more a KFC.
He's on form today.
Just used to keep talking. I'm enjoying listening.
This is the guy that got Scott Brown off of the charge a couple of years ago. He'd done for celebrating, and he was going to miss an Old Firm game, and he got him off the hook. So if anyone can do it, it's Nick DiMarco. He's represented some big cases in football legal disputes over the years. It's not uncommon for Celtic or any club to bring in some legal counsel like that. He's just a very high profile one. So they're bringing out the big guns for this case. Well, I got off with it. Who knows? The thing is, the disciplinary process, because I think Celtic will highlight previous examples of other managers criticising VAR and referees and not getting... This season, we've not seen an awful lot of managers getting hit with bans for speaking out. And every manager in Scotland at some point has said, VAR's hopeless, this is rubbish, this was bad. And they haven't been hit with the beaks, a good tabloid phrase. So I can understand why they're fighting it, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of resolution in between. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they got one game ban, one suspended or something like that, rather than the two-game ban, which take him out of Ibrox. I could see that. Could I see that happening? Yes. Could I see him getting a ban? Yeah, I could. Could I see him go off with it? Maybe. I see nothing ever surprises you in Scottish football. I remember Derek Adams getting hit like a 14-game ban and never even swore at any point in time.
Never swore full stop.
Never swore and get 14 games. So who knows? Who knows? I mean, Celtic are great at it. They're giving it the big cheap, and they want them in the dugout for Ibrox, naturally. I think I can see that any outcome that happens, I don't really surprise me any of the outcomes, to be honest with you.
What do you think, Fraser? Do you think he deserves a ban?
Well, that's a big thing, isn't it? I mean, they absolutely want him in the dugout, and maybe even more so in the dressing room for that game at Ibrox. I always think it's the hour and 15 minutes before kickoff that they're not allowed in the dressing room. It's the bigger punishment here. So for a game of that magnitude, they really want to win it. If this guy's as good as Messi is at football at his job, then there's no contest, surely. It'll be getting off it.
If that's accurate, eh?
Who dubbed him the Messi of sports law?
You know the football finance journalist?
Well, it was.
Yeah, he branded them the the line of football law, which is a great little turn of phrase, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, if that's the case, then they couldn't get anyone better. What was your question again?
I don't think it's because he's just because he's short. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's actually because his job.
I can't even really hear Brendan Rodgers' outburst now. I can remember reading it. Was it a bit naughty to name?
He did use the word
incompetent.
Incompetence, didn't he?
Along with John Beaton. Was that the
law? Yeah, I think in the law, was it section 74 or something like that? It does say you can't question the integrity or the competence of an official, which seemed to me a bit strange because if your centre half fluffs one at the back of his own net, then you question his competence. If your manager makes three or four duff substitutions and you get beat, you question his competence. If an official makes a mistake, you can't question their competence.
How often do you hear a manager go public after a game questioning his own players' competence? They don't, but
well,
the officials, it seems to be a bit different. Publicly, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, it does happen.
No,
I get questioning their integrity, but surely you can come out and say he was awful. I mean,
yeah, but in the rules, you can't.
Devil's advocate here, Daniel, that's all I'm trying to do.
No, the
rule says you can't, and the word the rules use specifically is question the competence, and he's used the word incompetence, then he could be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about things like in legal terms, if you're talking about things like defamation and all that stuff, usually you can, if you was it the Veritas defence, if you prove that it's correct, you can't get done for defamation. So if you can prove that they're incompetent, does that mean you can often call them incompetent? Unfortunately not. That's a problem. But that defence doesn't work in sporting terms.
All comes back to a high boot, doesn't it? Was it a red? Was it a yellow?
Oh, aye, that's right. Aye, that's true. I remember you guys debating that. The was it?
Fraser,
wrong, wasn't it? Aye.
What do you think? Was it a red or a yellow?
Oh, no.
What do you think?
Why did he not just put his head in there? Why did he have to lift his boot so high? Could he not just have headed? He had an opportunity to head the ball.
Is it a red or a yellow?
Do you know what? There was nothing wrong with the yellow card the on-field referee brandished. So, yeah, I think I sway towards it being a yellow card, but I don't think it's sad. I hate the fact VAR gets involved and starts overruling on-field refs. So, in that respect, I totally agree with Brendan Rodgers. Had it been a straight red on the field, I probably wouldn't have seen much of an issue with that either.
See, I don't think it can ever be a red. I mean, I know.
It's put up that high. I wish I could do that.
This thing is, it's a high boot. And then football has always been a yellow card for a high boot. Been a yellow card.
But it's a yellow card, agreed.
If there was any force behind it, then you say, that's a dangerous challenge. A high boot isn't dangerous in itself. Tell you what, so he runs in there at full pelt with his head. That's far more dangerous than hanging a high boot in the air.
No,
he's wearing a pair of, I mean, the boots these days are made of bone wool. They're like slippers. Your skull is much more dangerous than
head-to-head. Aye, okay.
We saw the one at Hibs, the penalty kick, against Celtic. Remember the head run that smashed Mills late with the header? Was a penalty kick. There's some debate with that. That was far more dangerous when it knocked out Arthur Johnson.
Mick, you're right. This is Stuart Kettlewell's argument this season. Twice he's brought up. Stuart Kettlewell reckons why are players not being sent off or even booked at times for mistimed aerial challenges?
Yeah.
And yet anything that's mistimed in the deck's an automatic yellow card. And he's right. Because what you've just said, that is far more dangerous. What would you rather have, a broken leg or a brain injury?
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting smashed full on with a head or you get someone's boot clips you in the top of the head, you know what's... Listen, you know, back to you being in the old goalies union, you're jumping head first to people's feet where the boots are.
Love it.
Exactly. Love it.
All right, agreed. It was a yellow card. It was a yellow card. I think we're all agreed on that.
We're all agreed.
And next one, what's up next?
Well, just to finish...
Handball, Mull Aberdeen, my God. In the name of goodness.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, just to finish, guys, we are, you know, a world away from transfer season, but as I've already said, there's a couple of lines. Paulo Bernardo, noticed that Benfica were, like, you know, reportedly saying the price had been set, 6 million, Mick. Do you think that's six and a half? Is that fair?
Well, that's what we're led to believe is the clause to get him.
Is he worth it, do you think?
See, I don't know. At this point in time, I've got to say I don't think so. But at the same time, I think there's a player in there. I mean, I think he had a good run of games around about the new year when I thought, yeah, we're finally starting to see it. I couldn't for the life of me fathom why it took him so long to get fit. I mean, it took him till October, November to even remotely look so challenging for a place. I think there's a neat and tidy football player in there. And I think, yeah, I could see he's got room to get better. He's only still about 21, 22. There's room for improvement. It's a lot of money, but I don't know. I think it's maybe one to see what you can get first. I think you've got to expect Martirelli to be subject to big bids in the summer. So you have to assume that he might go for good money. I know Atletico Madrid are still, they're not going away anywhere either. So you think that's a position. So then you need another one. If Bernardo doesn't sign, you need another one in there. So I think it's one to keep the options open. I don't think you make the decision now. But I do think there's a player in there. So I'm kind of swaying. I kind of said previously, no, I don't think he's worth it at this point in time. But I think it might be one that he might even kick. There is room for development there to get better. So it might be one. It might be worthwhile taking him.
I really like him, but 6 million, Fraser, that's a lot.
That's the figure that always seems to get put on these loanies, isn't it? It was kind of Jota's figure and it was Carter Vickers' figure, although that could end up as high as 10 if he keeps hitting his add-on levels. Bernardo, no chance. Not for me.
No.
He doesn't score enough goals for me. That's the problem.
Aye, you've got to have an impact every week. Maybe have 4 or 5 off games a season, but every week you got to produce an impact like Jota did, like Carter Vickers does when he plays. And that's what a £6 million player gets you. And if Matt O'Reilly goes, it's not going to be a replacement for Matt O'Reilly. It's not that level. And if he improves a bit, I just don't think he's got the impact of any of those players we've mentioned there. So unless they can negotiate that down a wee bit, it could be an important squad player, but I wouldn't be splashing £6 million on him.
See, going back to the Scotland game the other night, one player that I wish Celtic had signed a couple of years ago, Ali McCann, playing for Northern Ireland. For next to nothing, I thought he was brilliant in Scotland and what his backside off the other night.
You know what? I had to cover St Johnstone's wee mini Euro run a couple of years ago, and they played Galatasaray and LASK, and he didn't look out of place in those games. In fact, he was by far St Johnstone's best player alongside Xander Clark, but outfield. Box to box, he was immense and just seemed to raise his game for those big games. So, it's not a bad shout. He wasn't shy putting his boot in the other night either, was he?
I'm just raising it in the sense that there must be better value for money probably than 6 million Bernardo. I like Bernardo.
I think he's now a regular at Preston, isn't he? So, he'd probably aye, drop aye. A pretty penny.
Aye. Yeah, he's played a lot of games for me. He's played nearly 100 games for Preston. Mm-hmm. Done really well. Cracking little player. Yeah, definitely one that slipped through the net. Celtic were looking at him, I think, would have been maybe pressing about 2021. I think Celtic were looking at him at that point in time and didn't go for him. I think he's about 24, 25 now. Definitely a good player. I mean, I think he slipped through the net, not just with Celtic. I mean, I think he's born in Scotland, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. Again, the Scotland midfield, though, is a hard part to get into, isn't it? And they've got Lewis Ferguson, who's going to be a £30 million signing this summer, he can't get into that team. So I can understand that one. But yeah, I still think Celtic, I mean, I think they're looking, they need to look for something, I'm not saying Champions League class, because buying Champions League class is next to impossible, but someone who can get to Champions League class, like a Matt O'Reilly. Matt O'Reilly was bought from the Championship, but is now Champions League class. Mm-hmm. So is Ali McCann is currently in the Championship. Can he get to Champions League class? Don't know. But I think that's the kind of market Celtic need to be in. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky market. It's not easy because it's not cheap either, even for prospects.
Absolutely. But guys, I think that brings us to the end of today's Record Celtic podcast. Thanks very much for listening at home. Fraser, Michael, it's always been a pleasure.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you very much. And we will be back next week. Cheers.